My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
A Sunday get-together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your current one, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. All right, let's do some NBA draft review. I read all of her stuff, caught all of her interviews as well. Outstanding job by Kristen Peek, lead NBA draft analyst for YahooSports.com, contributor for Rivals.com as well. Kristen, Jody Mack here, meant what I said. Very good job out of you on Thursday. Did you enjoy yourself?
Thursday night is my favorite night, favorite day of the year. For me, it's like graduation in the sense where, you know, like I've known these players since they were 15, 16 years old. And to finally be there and see them realize their dreams, it's like nothing else. And, you know, and then for them, they're like going through the gauntlet of the car wash of media people. And then they see me and they're like, oh, familiar face. Okay, someone I know. Like, let's have a conversation.
All right, so I got like 92,000 things to ask you. But since you went down this road, what was the youngest player you ever saw? First time you saw him on the court, be it warm-up, be it the first half, be it a full game, but keep it to a game. You saw young man play first time, you go, oh, I'm going to talk to him on draft night.
Probably, and you know, I had to remind him actually on Thursday night because we had that full circle moment, but it was Jalen Duren. I saw him between his 7th and 8th grade year.
Wow.
And yeah, he was playing up 2 divisions, and it was one of those things where it was like an 8 a.m. Sunday game, and I was walking across the court to watch somebody else, and he caught my eye, and you know, from then on, it's you just kind of keep tabs on that person. He ended up being the number one player in his class. And I think he went, he went 11 to the Pistons. So, it's definitely those moments where, you know, you see these kids and they've got a mouthful of braces and then they're so young. And then to see them on draft night, you know, dressed to the nines, iced out in their Gucci suit or whatever it is really, I'm like a proud big sister and auntie or something. I'm just like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, you might have to cop the auntie if you saw him when he was in the 7th grade. That's more than big sister. I see the sister, but if you saw a kid when he was in 7th grade and said he's going to be in the NBA someday, yeah, auntie, you did a great job. Our friend Kristen Peek here with us from Yahoo Sports talking about the draft. All right, let's go to Duren. He gets picked, he gets dealt, he ends up in Detroit with Jaden Ivey, which the Pistons lucked into that one, and he dropped down to 5. They had 2 pretty damn good young players. Will those 2 both be able to step in and make contributions? I'm not saying starting, but part of the rotation. How much did the Pistons help themselves with the additions of Ivey and Duren?
Oh, man, they were the winners of the draft for sure, you know, especially with Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham in the backcourt. That's a dream scenario for this young Pistons team coming up. I mean, Cade is such a great facilitator when he has the ball in his hands. He's a big guard. And then also, you know, Ivey off the wing, getting to the basket. having those finishes that are very Ja Morant-esque. It's going to be a lot of fun to see them play. And then, of course, Daylen Duren. I mean, you have to remember, he's a year younger than everybody else because he reclassified up a grade to play at Memphis a year early. So he's going to have a little bit more growing pains, but the fact that he's bringing much-needed size and physicality in the lane alongside Isaiah Stewart, you know, there's still those rumblings that DeAndre Ayton is interested in coming to Detroit. So, if they had Daylen Duren in the draft and then they go out and they get someone like DeAndre Ayton, who, by the way, was the number one pick in the draft. What was that, 2017, 2018? Right. I think Detroit is in a very, very good position for the future.
All right. I want to see if you had the same take I did. Leading up to draft, anybody who asked me any time I did the draft spot, I said, well, I know who the first four picks are going to be. Not sure what order, but I can tell you the first four picks were going to be. And I was wrong because Jaden Ivey dropped down to number five.
Yep.
I thought the drop-off was after four, and then it became debatable as to who would come off at number five, and depending on what the team's needs were or any trades. Was Keegan Murray just that good in the eye of the Kings? Was there anyone else who thought that he could go up there? I already said, I think the Pistons got lucky that he dropped to five. Why did Keegan Murray go number four?
I'll tell you why, because Jaden Ivey made it very, very clear that he did not want to be in Sacramento. He never, ever once spoke or met or worked out for the Kings sitting at four. So the Kings had one of two options. They either had to, you know, take trade talks, and I know the Knicks were really interested in Ivy, but they couldn't get enough to get up to that four position. Or they take Keegan Murray, which is more of a team need, and that's what they went with. And honestly, Jaden Ivy won in that regards because, mm-hmm. you know, anytime a player says, I don't want to go here, I don't want to go here, I don't want to go here, well, guess what? It's not your choice. You're not the one picking. This isn't college and high school recruiting. You're not picking them. They're picking you. So for the Kings to pass on possibly Ja Morant 2.0 and take Keegan Murray, who, by the way, Keegan's fine, but he's not a potential all-star in what Jaden Ivey could be. They don't need that because they already have Davion Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox in the backcourt, so they needed more size in the lane. But he's just an okay pick. And so the Kings went with team need instead of what was best available, which was Jaden Ivey.
If you saw Shaedon Sharpe as a high school player, committed
yes.
to Kentucky, ended up not playing, is considered the wild card of this draft, could end up being the best player, might not even be a rotational player in the NBA. Nobody's seen enough of him. Did you see him as a high school player? Are you going more boom or more bust?
I probably saw Shaedon more than anybody else because during the pandemic, there were only two places his team, Dream City Christian, was playing, and that was in outside of Phoenix and also in Utah. So I just went back and forth and saw him as much as I could. And I remember first time I saw Shaedon after the game, you know, I went up to him, and at the time he was a top 85 player in high school. And I said, I think you are a top 10 player in your class. And he didn't believe it. So then he rose to number one within that year. Obviously, we know he didn't play a single minute at Kentucky, but what the NBA is getting in Shaedon Sharpe is probably the most exciting player in transition. He has a reportedly 49-inch vertical jump. I've seen him jump over players and put back dunks. So I'm not worried about his athleticism. I am a little bit worried about how he's going to adjust the pace of the NBA game, but going to someplace like Portland where the pressure isn't going to be on him, he's going to have that time to just kind of relax and ease into the game. And honestly, and I said this to him, I at draft night, I said, look, this is who I'm telling people you are. Please don't make me look stupid and please turn out to be this person. But if he hits, if Shaedon Sharpe hits, he is a better shooting Anthony Edwards, period.
Ooh. That's high praise.
He's got that potential. Yes, yes.
We'll keep our eye on Shaedon Sharpe, and he should fit nicely in the Portland backcourt with Mr. Lillard.
All right. Dame, yep.
Only one G League player was taken in the top 24 picks, and that was Dyson Daniels by the Pelicans at number 8. I had a misunderstanding, or I didn't understand or know well enough what the G League was going to be before the year ever started, because you had the new NIL in the college basketball ranks and players could stay and make money there. So I thought it might cut down on the amount of talented players that would end up in the G League. Is that the case? Is that why only one G League player was taken in the first 8 picks? Were there G League guys that went further down that you think they missed the boat on? What did NIL have to do this year to give the level of competence in the G League what it ended up being?
Yeah, it was a weird draft year for the G League Ignite, because there are very talented players that were on that team. Problem is, everybody in this draft class was completely overshadowed by Scoot Henderson, the 6'2 guard that'll be in next year's draft class, probably the number 2 pick. And so playing alongside him, a year or two younger than Jaden Hardy, than Dyson Daniels, than Mike Foster, it exposed them a little bit, especially because Scoot was so great. But Dyson, you know, he grew 2 inches from the start of the season to the actual draft. And so he's got great size, can swing to the wing and be that secondary ball handler off the pick and roll option. But Jaden Hardy falling to 35 to the Mavericks, I think he'll end up being Jaden Hardy, the steal of the draft. And honestly, this is a guy who was the number one scorer coming out of high school. I mean, he could do it all, from those James Harden step back threes, take players off the dribble. Like, he was unstoppable. So this isn't a name drop or anything, but I talked to Mark Cuban after the draft, and he's like, what do you think of our draft pick? And in all sincerity, I think they got a steal, especially in the second round. This is a player who was a projected top 5, top 10 player before he hit the G League. And I think COVID really hurt him, because there was no 5-on-5 competition. It was just him and his brother and his dad in the gym working out 1-on-1, 1v0. And so he fell behind. But now, it's an even playing field, and I think he's going to thrive in Dallas, and there's no pressure on him. So I thought it was a good pickup for them.
All right, you're going to have to fill in a blank for me. Shame on me. I should know this, but I will as soon as you explain it to me. The kid, Scoot Henderson, that you're saying could be the number 2 pick in the draft next year, only 360-some-odd days in advance, so thank you for going there. I thought that the G League was all one and done, that if you played a year in the G League, that you immediately became eligible for the NBA draft. Did he just go in younger than everybody else? Did he have a high school diploma? How did Scoot Henderson end up in the G League, and why is he going to be there multiple years?
Yep. So Scoot signed the G League contract. It was reportedly a 2-year deal, $1 million. And since he's so young, he signed it at 17, and you have to be 1 year removed from high school, but also you have to hit the age requirement. And Scoot's only 18 now, so he didn't qualify for the draft this year. So he has to play 2 years in the G League. So the only player that's ever done it where he's not like,
right,
oh, you know what? I'm not going to reclassify. I'm just going to leave school. Go play in the G League. And that's exactly what he did. And if you watch him, the things that he was doing against grown men was unbelievable at 17 years old. Like, the way his body control at the rim, the way he used his first step off the dribble to his advantage against these grown men who have already, you know, some of them had success in the NBA, was unbelievable. So he's one to watch. But the big prize next year, now that we're talking about 2023, is this 7'3" point forward out of France, Victor Wembanyama. And he's like a generational type talent. You're going to see 10 teams in December to start tanking. So if you have a favorite team and you're like, why are the 3 star players of my favorite team sitting and it's only January? Well, now you know, because they're going to tank. They're going to do everything they can to get this generational type talent. This is a player, Victor, who, I mean, I don't think there's been as much hype surrounding one player since LeBron James among NBA scouts. And the fact that he's going to be the best import out of Europe ever, you know, more so than Luka Doncic, more so than 2-time MVP winner Nikola Jokic. Like, this is a guy that's going to change the way that the position of the center is played. And yeah, we're one short a year. We're 1 year away from seeing what he's going to do.
Please, one more time, pronounce that last name, since we're going to be saying it over and over and over and over again for the next 350 days.
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama. Yes. All right, I got to work on that because, yes, I'm hearing the same thing you're saying, that this kid is far and away the best player to come out in a draft in a decade. So we'll certainly keep an eye on him. All right, a word you use, reclassify. Bunch of players have done that. Bunch of players have thrived from it. Some have overstepped their boundaries and then paid a price thereafter. Your opinion, reclassifying, good, bad, or indifferent?
It's case by case. Like, I look at someone like Amani Bates, who reclassed, and it didn't go so well.
How did you know what my next question was going to be? I was going to ask you about Amani Bates. You and I are on the same wavelength here. All right, give me the reclassify, yay or nay.
I mean, for Amani, no, it was not a good thing. For Jalen Duren, yes, because he already had an NBA-ready physique. Amani, it hurt Amani because at the guard position, you got to be able to create for yourself. And even at 6'9" and his incredible jump shot, he wasn't able to get it off because he didn't adjust to the pace of the college game. I think, he's still uncommitted, but I'm pretty sure all signs point to him going to Louisville. Since he entered the transfer portal. And I think that's a great, great spot for him, especially playing under Kenny Payne, who was obviously the associate head coach at Kentucky, and then also Nolan Smith, who was a longtime assistant at Duke. So playing for those two coaches and getting the guidance and expertise from them, I think will help him. But he didn't do himself any favors reclassifying. That's for sure.
It's a bit of a gamble, and sometimes it pays off, and sometimes, yes, go backwards. So you think Bates will re-fortify himself? If it's Louisville, you're right. He hasn't committed. He's in the transfer portal, but he hasn't committed anywhere. Whispers going home to Michigan was a possibility. If you say Louisville, I'm going to take your word for it. How good can he be after another year in college basketball?
He's still so young, and he's got immense upside, untapped potential, I think. Obviously, Memphis was a bad situation for him. And, you know, him and his dad kind of butted heads with Penny Hardaway and the staff. So anytime you can have a restart is a good thing. And the fact that he's only going to be 19 and, you know, like we as the media didn't do him any favors kind of touting him as the next Kevin Durant, putting him on this pedestal and putting that pressure on him so early on, you know, in 9th, 10th grade. So I think he's been humbled a lot through this process, and now it's getting back to basketball. And look, he's still going to be a first round pick next year, probably. But is he Victor Wembanyama? Like, that? Is he that caliber type of NBA prospect? No. But I think he's still so young. The verdict is still out on him, but I think he can get back to that high level of expectations that we all had on him early on.
All right, two more questions for you. The first one, since we've gotten there, the 2023 draft, and I do want to jump back and ask you one more on this year's draft. Cam Whitmore, Philly kid, coming to Villanova. Jay Wright recruited him. I'm sure Cam believed he was going to be playing for Jay Wright, and now Jay Wright is no longer coaching, or he won't be coaching Villanova this year. We'll find out if he ever coaches again. Any talk about him not coming to Nova? He's talented enough to be a one-and-done guy. Does he not worry about it, that he's in a good program and he's going to get everything he needs there to be able to be an NBA draft lottery guy? What have you heard from Cam Whitmore?
You know, I just talked to Cam last month. I went down to Houston for the USA basketball, U19 tryouts. So I got a chance to sit down with him. And he talked very openly and candidly about staying at Villanova. You know, he didn't know that Jay Wright was going to be leaving, but it didn't matter because he's, you know, developed relationships with the rest of the coaching staff, and he feels really comfortable there, that they'll be able to help him grow his game. And Cam is a player. I mean, he led that USA team to a gold medal, was the best player on the court. And I think in my first iteration of the 2023 mock draft, I have him going number six. And he could be the highest drafted one-and-done prospect out of Villanova ever. I think I talked to NBA scouts about him, and they love Cam and what he brings in terms of his physicality on the court, the way he sees other players in transition, and just he is a bucket. Like, he wants to get a bucket every single time. Like, he is scoring option number one. So I think he's going to be definitely a player to watch next year. And, you know, there, depending on what happens with Nick Smith Jr. at Arkansas, who's right now a potential top five pick, I could see those two kind of trading bases or trading places, like Cam getting picked within the top five and Nick falling out of the top five. So, yeah, he is definitely a player that I'm going to be watching closely. And I know a lot of NBA scouts are too.
All right, last one, and I know that you have one because I have one every single year, and you do this much more closely than I do. Somebody dropped in the draft. You had your mock draft. You had your beliefs. You saw where you thought guys fit. Are they a lottery pick? Are they top 20? Are they first round? Maybe they dropped into the second. There had to be one guy that, as the picture coming off the board, you're going, really? They're going to pass on him too? He's still not picked? I can't believe he hasn't been picked yet. Who was the guy who dropped in the draft and you said, wow, did this team get a steal where they got him?
I would say it has to be Ty Washington going 29. This is a player, you know, he's a product of Kentucky. He played off the ball this year because Sevier Wheeler was a point guard. And it really helped him in terms of being that combo guard and giving him that extra level for the NBA. But he had a horrible pro day, and every NBA team was at this pro day. And I think that's why he fell so much, but it was a wake up call for him. And he even said on draft night, he said, I'm taking note of every team that passed on me and I'm going to prove them wrong, you know, I don't understand how we haven't learned our lesson yet. Like, Kentucky guards are always better at the NBA level. Emmanuel Quickley, Tyrese Maxey, Devin Booker, year after year after year, these are players that perform much better in the NBA than they do for Coach Cal at Kentucky. So Ty is definitely that player that, you know, he fell to 29, and I was just like, wow, okay, all right, he's on a mission. He's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
Chip on the shoulder guy is never a bad guy to have in your foxhole. And my guy, I just quickly tell you, my guy was E.J. Liddell. Not that he's going to be a superstar. Yes. Not that he's going to be an all-timer. He's going to step right in and play next year. He stayed 3 years. He does what the NBA wants you to do, play defense, a little physicality, make threes. He just fits what the NBA has become, and I can't believe he dropped down to 41. He's going to be a nice player in the NBA for a decade. Mark my words.
I agree.
You keep an eye on your guy. I'll keep an eye on my guy. Kristen, this was great. I appreciate you doing it. I'm going to tap into you more often going further. Appreciate you coming on with us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. That is Kristen Peek. Does an outstanding job. She just did a great job with us, but she does a great job for Yahoo as well, giving you an NBA draft insight. All right, Jody Mack coming back. We can talk hoops. We can jump over to the football, some baseball stuff. You get to what you want to get to. 855-212-4227. Get you on with the Mack Man here on CBS Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.